to come and visit with you and to share the work of the Lord which is going on in Ghana with you. I want to thank the elders, the preacher, and of course all of you. And I hope you are going to enjoy my accent. My name is Dan Asiaba. I'm from Ghana, West Africa. I am 51, married with 7 kids. I have preached at the Takoradi Central Church of Christ the last 31 years. The church has an average membership of 1,300, and we are involved in so many things in Ghana, in Europe, and here in the United States. I have a weekly television program which is aired in Ghana every Sunday morning. We do have 2 radio programs in a week. We hold big gospel campaigns across Ghana every year. We do have a school of preaching where we trying to train young men to go out there and preach the gospel of Christ. This year, we're going to have a graduation for 27 of those students, Lord willing, in July. Part of my ministry, I have come to understand that there are 2 things that a church should not forget if we want to be relevant in today's world. And first is evangelism, and 2 is benevolence. These 2 things, when they are put together, will help every congregation of the Lord's Church to grow numerically and spiritually. And over the years, that is what I've gotten myself into. We preach a lot, but we also try to do good to as many people as we can. We have a feeding program where we try to feed those who are hungry. We do have clothing program where we go to a number of our villages and we give out used clothing to the needy and the poor. We dig wells, water wells for villages. Now, if you came to Africa, portable drinking water is a big thing. So many of our villages do not have access to that. And we do have a lot of waterborne diseases in Africa due to the water we drink. And so we try to help communities and villages with wells. And we've been doing this for so many years. We have a big prisons ministry where we go visit the prisons. We have set up at least 3 churches across Ghana at the prisons. Talking of evangelism, as I've already said, we do organize large preaching programs where we invite a number of congregations and we come together. We pay for radio stations and we broadcast the preaching on radio. So when we do have, let us say, 1 week gospel campaign, we can have as many as, say, more than 10 million people hearing what we are saying at a time. We have started a number of congregations over time. In Ghana, the Takoradi Church has started more than 30 other congregations. We have helped set up a Ghanaian congregation in New York City. We have helped set up a Ghanaian congregation in Atlanta, Georgia. We have helped set up a Ghanaian congregation in Columbus, Ohio. In Europe, we have helped set up a congregation in Amsterdam, Holland, which happens to be the largest congregation of the Churches of Christ in that country. And so I travel a lot. And in my travels, we just want to share this good news with our brothers and sisters everywhere, and to find, seek brothers and sisters who will be willing to work with us to just preach the gospel of Christ, and then to try to help as many people as possible. Tonight, I would like us to think a little bit about Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 1. In Acts 1 and verse 1, Luke, writing to a brother named Theophilus, said, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." I repeat, Acts 1 and verse number 1. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Sound so simple. Sound even confusing. What is the point here in Acts 1 and verse number 1? Here is the point. Luke is telling Theophilus, and he says, all that, everything that the Lord Jesus came into this world to do, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And I think about it, why in this verse does the word "do" precedes preaching? Jesus did not only preach to people. Luke is saying he did some things. And then we ask ourselves, what then did Jesus do? And all that he did are recorded in the four Gospels. In the four Gospels, you either see Jesus teaching or preaching, or doing one good or the other to as many people as he could find. We are the church of the Lord. All the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach should not be forgotten. And the more we try as a church to remember this and put them into practice, the more our churches will continue to grow. The more our churches will continue to be of Christ. We need to imitate him, because he did not only preach to people. He did not only teach people. He did some things. Now, if we've forgotten some of the things he did, at one time, he fed 4,000 people for free. At another time, he fed 5,000 people for free. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We saw him several times giving sight to the blind. We saw him so many times healing so many diseases. He healed the lepers. He healed the deaf and dumb. He healed the lame and the crippled. We are his church. And I also say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We are his church. So how many are we healing today? Are we talking about people claiming to be having the power to heal people miraculously? No. But we can still help heal people today. We can still help feed people today. He knew how it feels to be thirsty. And you can read about that in John chapter 4. When he was thirsty and asked this young lady for water. So many people around the world do not have access to potable drinking water. And we are his church. We are his representatives in this world. We are his ambassadors. We are his kingdom. We are his agents. And in Matthew 5:13, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are. And yes, we are. We must accept that challenge that as members of the Lord's church, we are supposed to be the salt of this earth. But if that salt loses its flavor, the Lord Jesus said it will be good for nothing. And people will just have to walk over the salt. Unfortunately, that is what has happened to a number of us Christians. The salt has lost its flavor. And therefore, it is no longer tasty. Now we can almost always read from the scriptures, rededicate ourselves, and do the things that the Lord is expecting from us, and we will be blessed. Let us accept the challenge tonight that we are the salt of this earth. No one else. There are responsibilities that we have to carry because we are Christians. And we do not expect anybody to do these things for us. We only have to ask the Lord for his strength. And once we are granted that strength, we can accomplish a lot of things for our God. Let us not forget tonight that we are the salt of this earth. Now let me close before we watch the video, by reading Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. And I just want you to think about this passage. Matthew 25, I'm reading from verse number 31. I hope you enjoy the accent. All right. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Tonight, as we go home, I just want us to think about this passage. Just read and read it again and again. And the message in this passage is so clear. Matthew 25, 31 through 40 forms no part of Jesus' parables. This is not a parable. The Lord is saying, this is what is going to happen. Somebody was hungry, but you didn't feed him. Somebody was thirsty. You didn't give him water to drink. Somebody was naked, and you didn't help. Somebody was a stranger. Somebody was at the hospital. Somebody was at the prisons. But you never went there. Let us think about this as we watch the video tonight. And Lord willing, tomorrow we have one more video to watch concerning the work that we are doing back home in Ghana. So I'm going to be the audio. So at the point, I will just explain some things. So if you came to Ghana, here are the places where people drink from. So if people are drinking from this source of water, what do we expect? Sicknesses all over. And that is the reason why when we go to these villages and try to provide a hand dug well, and that is the way we go about it. We just pay the contractors and they do this heavy work. At the end of it all, we are able to get a safe drinking water for these people. So that is the way we go about our wells that we provide for villages. So we have a number of the churches that I visit, individuals and congregations, some of the times try to just help so that we can get people water like this. And it becomes so refreshing for you as a Christian to get to know that you've been part of somebody's life. And above all, you have fulfilled what the Lord has asked us to do. So from one village to the other, we go and try to do good in the name of Christ. And as we do this, we establish churches in these villages. As we provide them with this, the people living in these villages are now willing to listen to us when we give them the gospel of Christ. So every year, depending on availability of help that we get, we try to help as many communities as possible. And when you are able to do this at a village, it becomes something like a Christmas to them. A lot of people just come in and then become Christians because of what we were able to do. I was thirsty, but you did not give me any water. And then we tell our Lord, we glorify him and say, Lord, we gave them water. We did not only give them your word, but we also try to do what we can as we give them safe drinking water. So this is one of the things that we have been doing over the years to help as many communities as possible. If a congregation helps us with the funds, or a family or an individual helps us, and he or she wants us to do that, we put his name or her name on that well that we have done in the name of Christ. And the good thing about it is that on the day that we hand these wells over to these needy communities, the chiefs and the elders in those villages all come together as the church presents this to them. And they never forget the name Church of Christ. And when we go over there to preach the gospel, everybody is ready to just listen to us. Between the hand dug well and then a borehole, the hand dug well is relatively cheaper, and then the water is equally very good. For you to get a borehole, it costs you something around $4,000 to do this, but with this we spent $2,300 to build a hand dug well for a community. And then for used clothing, you go to some of our villages and you see children who walk about in these villages half naked, not because they don't want to wear anything, but because they simply don't have them. We have a number of poverty endemic areas across Africa. And when we talk of a village, you go to a village and you see where a family of six, a family of 10 lives. Their bedrooms and everything, very, very bad. And we just try to do something to help as many people as we can when we get to some of these villages. At first, I was soliciting the used clothing from here, and I was sending them from here to Ghana. We shipped them over. But it became so expensive to pay the custom duties and everything. So now we buy the used clothing in Africa. We have used clothing coming from Europe all the time, and so we buy from them, and then we take them to their villages. So we talk about a typical village in Ghana, that is the house, the houses in the villages, that is how they look like. They are just thatched houses with sand and bamboo, and that is somebody's home. So these are the places we call villages in Africa, or in Ghana for that matter. And the roads to these places are very, very bad. You can spend about 2 hours to get to a place which is something like 15 minutes drive here. And it was 4 years ago that a Christian brother in New York donated this van to us for this work. And so it's been very, very helpful. We are able to go to the villages with very bad roads because the vehicle is a four-wheel drive. And we are able to go to a whole lot of places. And it's been very, very good for us the last 4 years. He gave it to us used, but it's still very, very strong. It's a 2007 vehicle. But we haven't had any problem with the engine whatsoever. And we go to these places to do what we can with it. You know, some of the times when we have the funds, we are able to buy even shoes. And all these are used ones, not too expensive. We can get a whole lot of them to serve so many people. These were preachers. At one time, we were able to get suits. They are used ones, but very good. And so when we have lectureships in the villages, some of the times we travel to some of these villages, bring about 10 congregations together, and then we have studies with the preachers. And that is where we were able to give these suits to the preachers in those congregations. We are also involved in medication, helping people with anti-malaria medicines, and then dewormers. Worm infestation and malaria are very, very rampant in Ghana. And most, both of them are waterborne diseases. And so if you are able to give a pill, two pills, dewormers to somebody, you have given him or her life. When you are able to give a bottle of anti-malaria medicine for a two-year-old baby, you have saved a life. And we have set up a school which trains young people with vocational skills. So at that time, we were giving them immunizations. We are vaccinating them against hepatitis C and B, which is very, very deadly now in Africa. I told you about our school of preaching, where we train young people who are going to preach the gospel. Lord willing, this is inside of the Takoradi Church now. It seats close to 2,000, so we have a whole lot of work to do to fill that those seats. But on Sundays, the Lord brings together about 1,300 people. This is the vocational school we have set up for orphans and young people from very poor homes. In Ghana, education is not for free. You have to pay for education. And as a result of HIV/AIDS and other things, we have a number of young people whose parents are simply not around. Those who have parents around, because of poverty, when they complete what we call junior high in Ghana, that's it. They cannot continue with education because the parents don't have the monies to pay. So we set up this school about 9 years ago to provide free vocational training for such people. Most of them members are kids of members of the church. And in some cases, we also allow others to come in. Last year, we held a graduation for them. And so far, since the inception of this school, 2008, we have graduated 778. Lord willing, next year, we're going to have yet another graduation. We do have 300 students at the school now. And we do all this to just help them so that they can also have a living. On graduation days, the things we do at the school, we do sewing. And so we buy a lot of sewing machines, the manual ones, not the electric ones, to train them. And on graduation days, if the student learned sewing, we try to give him or her a sewing machine. If he or she did cooking, then we try to give them the gas cooker and then the burner for them to go home with so that they can start something for themselves. We also do architectural drafting where they draw building plans. And so we do that also to help them. This was their graduation, and so they were preparing themselves for graduation, and this is their graduation day proper. When they come to the school, a number of them are not sociable. They don't even know how to smile. So part of our training is to just try to put smiles onto their faces as we train them. And that those who are not Christians, by the time the graduation comes on, more than 90% of them have been baptized to become members of the Lord's Church. So this was a graduation for those people, 2014. So those things that were shown were some of the things that we give to them. And then we do also have the hairdressing department. And so on graduation days, we give the professional hair dryers to those who learned hairdressing. The difference this one makes in Ghana is that we do all these things for free. We do not charge. And it's too expensive for young people to attend what we call a vocational school like this. So every year, whenever I travel down, we talk about these things and see whoever is willing to work with us and to help these little ones to make a living, think is a very, very good work that we have been doing over there. I don't know why my cameraman just wanted to show dancing. See if we can fast forward it a bit. I don't know. No, I don't have to watch it. So as you go along, if you have any question, you can ask. Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to have the 2016 edition of the videos, some of the things that we were able to do in 2016 too. So as we go along, if you have any question, these are traditional dancing in Ghana. So the students come from all over Ghana, from different regions. In Ghana alone, we have 48 different dialects. That is in Ghana alone. And so they come from different, you know, cultural backgrounds. And so on graduation days, they showcase where they come from. And normally in Africa, we do that through our dancing. Oh, okay. In the native language over there, as I've told you, we have over 48 different dialects. However, the most predominant one is called Chi. Chi. And we spell it T-W-I. But to help you spell it, like C-H-W-I. Chi. Chi. In Chi, if you want to ask somebody to come, you say bra, bra, B-R-A, bra, bra. If you want to ask somebody to go, you say ko, ko, ko. Food is Adriani, Adriani. Jesus in Chi is Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. It's interesting because in Greek, Jesus' name is Jesus, Jesus. And in Chi, it is Yesu. It's also like James in English. In the Greek, it is Iakubu, Iakubu. And in our Chi language, it is the same, Iakubu, just like it is in the Greek. God is Onyankopon. Onyankopon. We have various words to describe God. So some of the times we hear Onyame. It still represents God. Onyame. And some of the time people say Nyame. As simple as that. Church in our language is Asori. 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 So in John 3:16, when the Lord said, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In chi it is na sadia unyankupon do ibiasini sa odeneba owo ne krono mai na ubiara obejine dino anyira na wenya dankwa. So that is your three classes. As I told you, we do have a lot of big gospel campaigns. And there are 10 administrative regions in Ghana. And the Takoradi Church believes that we can be helpful to all the churches in Ghana. And that is why we have the television program, which is aired on the national television every Sunday morning. And then we have the radio programs and other things. We do have a strong Facebook studies too. So I present a lot of stuff on Facebook. And some of the times we got, last week when I posted some things, we got about 32,000 people coming over to read. And of course we do have the YouTube where we post most of the videos, the television program videos there. So we do have a lot of people, and especially Ghanaians who have traveled outside of Ghana are able to continue to listen to the word of God in their native language. So this is one of the big gospel campaigns we hold. At these meetings, you can have as many as 3,000 to 4,000 people on the ground there, listening to the word. And on the Sunday, we have these programs for 1 week, six days, because it begins on Monday, and then we end it on a Sunday, where all the churches in that locality will come together, and we have an open worship for people to see how the church worships. And they bring a lot of visitors. And as you can see here, at this program, we had about 108 baptisms on a Sunday. So we do have these big programs. They are aired on radio stations. And so when we have a program like this, almost all Ghana, and then when we hook up with Facebook, then people around the world can listen to what we are doing. That is the work that the Lord has asked us to do. Let us go out there and preach the gospel. This public preaching, unfortunately, we know that here in the States, you don't have the luxury of being able to do this in the United States. But, you know, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20, that is what Paul said. He said he preached both publicly and from house to house. And so, in Ghana, we have that opportunity, and therefore we make good use of public preaching, we call it, because when you go out there with enough publicity, you have literally hundreds of people coming together to listen to the word of God. And so we want to make good use of that, and we continue to do that from region to region in Ghana. The gospel is God's power to save. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he gave us the reason. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. In Romans 1:16-17, Paul reveals something to us. He said, the gospel has power in itself to save. We cannot save anybody, but the gospel can. And the power, the word power that is used over there in the Greek is dunamis, from which is derived the English word dynamite. So the gospel has a dynamite power to save. He has asked us to go and preach. That is our responsibility. He did not ask us to go and do anything. He said, you go and give the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ to the rest of the world. Once we obey that great commission and go, then the gospel will take care of the rest. So the problem is we are either reluctant to go, or we are giving out too many excuses as to why we are not going. And I keep telling brothers and sisters that go is not a difficult word to understand. Go. The letters are just two. Not difficult to pronounce. Not difficult to understand. So why don't we go? Going out there to preach the gospel means that we are knocking at people's doors. And when they open the doors, we just tell them, we are members of the Church of Christ, can we share the word of God with you? Bible told us, preachers, that we should preach the word both in season and out of season. And somebody said, oh, no, some people will not accept you. Question is, did you go? You didn't go. So we want to enjoy our comfort zone. And some of the times we make the church as if it were a social club. The church is not a social club. The church is a serious group of people who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and are committed to carry on with that work that Jesus gave to us as his children. Let us keep all these in mind and try as much as possible to let the gospel reign in this world. Gospel of Christ is the answer to all the problems in this world. Look at what Islam is doing in our world today. The answer is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And we are not doing that. We are not preaching it. We are not spending our monies on the gospel as we should. We are not sacrificing. We are not as committed as we should. But the gospel is the answer. Christ died for the sins of this world. He was buried for the sins of this world. And triumphantly, he was raised the third day for the salvation of all humankind. He expects us, as members of his church, to go and share this good news with the rest of the world. And once we do that, we will be blessed, and a number of people will come and see God through us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to save. So as we go out there, we carry with us the power of God to save. Preachers don't save anybody. We cannot. But we can give them the saving tool, which is the gospel. Tonight, I want to thank you once again for giving us the chance to come and share this with you. We have more videos for tomorrow morning that will highlight different aspects of the work that we do. And this was very good for 6 o'clock. And we know that as it happens everywhere, evening services have low attendance, wherever you go to. And we know a number of our brothers and sisters will be here in the morning, and we can continue to share some more. Let us all try our possible best to do all that we can to preach the gospel. Let me leave you with this. Statistically today, people who claim to be Muslims now outnumber those of us who claim to be Christians. Just think about that. In case you didn't hear me, did you know that today, statistically, people who claim to be Muslims are more than those of us who claim to be Christians? It means we are handing this world over on a silver platter to Islam. And indirectly, we are endorsing terrorism as Christians. That is what our inactions are indicating. We are giving these people the chance to take the world, to fill this world with their hatred for Christianity, with their hatred for any other civilization in this world. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we have the gospel. We need to preach it. We need to pray for preachers and missionaries who are involved in doing this. And we need to be willing to pay. Pay the preachers. Pay the missionaries. Meaning support them. Just tell them, I support you. Encourage them so that the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ will be preached everywhere. It's my prayer that the good Lord will continue to be with us and help us, give it the necessary strength, both physically and spiritually, so that we will continue to be His church. God bless you. Thank you.